Good morning, everyone. This is Greg McGillivray, and this is The Takeover here at the radio station. We've got a special guest coming in a little later, and I'm a filmmaker here in town, and I love Laguna. I'm a father and a husband. I grew up in Corona del Mar. And what I'm going to try to do this morning is kind of weave a little bit of a story about how films are made, how you use music in films, and how to entertain an audience through filmmaking. That first cue is Charade by Henry Mancini from the movie, and I use that piece of music in my first film, not that version, a faster version that actually started the movie, and it got me interested in putting the art of movies together with film and music. And over the years, I started making surfing films, and then when I was 18, my first surfing film, A Cool Wave of Color, came out while I was at Santa Barbara. My girlfriend Barbara was back in New York at school. That film was called A Cool Wave of Color, and it was probably the strangest surfing film ever made. Now, I'd like to bring in a special guest who came into my life when I heard they're wrangling a microphone right now. When I heard this band play in Laguna right around 1969, 1970, and I was making a film called Five Summer Stories, and I needed more music. I had the music from the Beach Boys, and they were gracious, and they said, use anything that we've ever done in your film. But I needed a few other cues. I fell in love with this one band called Honk, and one of my best friends, Steve Wood, wrote this song that is coming up next. Let's play that song, and here we are at KX 93.5.
Love you, baby, love you. Baby, I love you, baby, I do love you. I love you, baby, love you. Baby, I love you, baby, I do love you. I love you, baby, love you. Baby, I love you, baby, I do love you. I can't slow down, I won't take time to eat. I can't scratch the itch motivating my feet. Facing myself, each other to be. My shirt's wide open just to let out the heat. I can't slow down, half spies through it. I can't be held down by three cases of glue.
Love you, baby, love.
I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you.
Well, that was Honk, and this is KX93.5, and this is The Takeover. This is Greg McGillivray. I'm a filmmaker here in Laguna, and a special guest here is Steve Wood from the band Honk that created that song that we just heard. Steve?
Well, about the creative process, that song was written at Orange Coast College when I was in traffic school. And it's one of the advantages of having ADD is you can do several things at once. Or anyway, that was right after I had met my future wife, not former wife. It's really early. Beth.
And she's wonderful. She's a great artist on her own right. And the thing that we're trying to do today is raise money for this wonderful radio station. I think, you know, Tyler and Jason have just done a fantastic job for our town. They bring culture and art and humor. I particularly like Jason's composing songs to the police blotter. It's just brilliant. And so call in 715-5936 and pledge money. In fact, I want to thank Beto Badol for sending in a pledge already, $100, and he gets some wonderful special gifts that come along with it, a new Porsche, and several other things. Steve, we're going to talk about our life in music and film, and I wanted to get an idea of why you got into music. What was it?
Well, interestingly, when I was growing up, I went to school in Newport Beach, and I was an avid surfer, and of course, I was aware of your films. I followed all the surfing movies and everything. And when I was 14, I was going to Newport Harbor High, and my father, who worked for the government, got transferred to Dallas, Texas. And I was suddenly in a place without an ocean, and it seemed to be about 10 years behind what I thought was the hip thing going on.
Well, his dad was an FBI agent. He was transferred to Dallas to study the Kennedy assassination.
Yep, he was part of the Warren investigation. And that really didn't matter to me at the time. It was mostly about waves and girls. And I had been to see A Hard Day's Night at the Port Theater before I moved to Dallas. And my girlfriend stood up and screamed Paul through the entire movie. Actually, I can't really say it was the entire movie because I got so angry about halfway through that I walked home.
Yeah.
But somehow, when I got to Texas, I had this inkling that maybe if I bought a guitar, my future might be great. So I had always loved music and never really thought of myself as a musician, even though my father was a great piano player and I had played a little bit, but I didn't catch me.
So you got into music because you wanted to be close to girls.
I think, is there any guy that didn't? Probably not.
Okay, the next song that we have pays tribute to that time, that era, with I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand. And I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh please, say to me, let me be your man. You let me hold your hand. Now let me hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love. When I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's get such a feeling that my love, I can't hide, I can't hide, I can't hide. Yeah, you got that something, I think you understand. When I feel that something, I wanna hold your hand.
All right, I think we all remember that if we were around. We have a caller, by the way. Who is this?
Yes, this is Barbara, and I've heard that you're giving away Porsches, and my husband needs a new car so badly that I'm pledging $150 so my friends Max, Rachel, and Megan can ride in my husband's new Porsche.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you very much for that $150. The radio station needs it, and we don't need to hear from you any longer. That's my wife calling. You know, and it's so appropriate that you called. I didn't expect this, but that song, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," came out the year that Barbara and I were freshmen in college, and she was on the East Coast, I was on the West Coast, and of course, you know, it kind of makes me tear up when I think about it, but I was pining for her whenever I heard that song in Santa Barbara. That song, and I think you heard the story of Steve Wood beginning his career in music because of the Beatles and because of A Hard Day's Night. Later on, just a couple of years ago, we were able to work with Paul McCartney, and Steve took, I think, one of Paul McCartney's best songs. In fact, it was the last song that he wrote with the Beatles, "Baby, I'm Amazed," and he made it into a beautiful ending sequence for our film called "To the Arctic," a film about global warming and the strife of the polar bears in the North Pole. Let's play that song.
Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you pull me out of time and hung me on a line. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I really need you.
That's we're KX 93.5. This is the takeover of the radio station. We've got Steve Wood here, the composer and wonderful musician. I'm Greg McGillivray, a filmmaker here in town. And that was an interesting song, because what we were able to do with our film To the Arctic is get permission from Paul McCartney, which took us months of work, and really convincing him through his brother-in-law and his sister and his father-in-law to allow us to use a lot of his music, anything that we wanted to, in our film To the Arctic, which is all about how to save the Arctic and its polar bear population. Steve, what is magic about that song for you?
Well, I mean, in that rendition is the female singer Raga Grondahl, and she's from Iceland. And I spent a bunch of time before I started recording for this film listening to music from people from big icy lands, because people tend to reflect the geography. The music somehow has a bearing on the place that they're from, or vice versa.
She's just got an incredible, different kind of voice.
Yeah, and there's just a relaxed quality to the people in those places where time is not quite so precious. And anyway, so that to me, that was a real find. I've used her on a lot of things since. I just send her stuff in email, and she sings into her iPhone or whatever and sends it to me. But she's just one of my all-time favorite singers, and these are the kind of things that happen through these films that would never happen if I was not involved in something that, you know, requires something a little above and beyond.
Well, it's kind of cool, because the music that Steve creates here in our little town of Laguna Beach goes all around the world in our films, but also over the internet and various other ways, CDs and such. Our films play in 150 to 250 theaters, which are generally located in museums, big IMAX theaters in museums, and I think about 40 to 45 countries. Millions of people see these films each year. What does that feel like, Steve? Because you're reaching a far wider audience now than you were able to with Honk.
You know, I don't really know what it feels like, because it's one of those things that happens without my knowledge. I can only imagine it.
Well, remember back when we did Everest about 16 or 17 years ago, we wanted to get George Harrison involved, mm-hmm. and he was intrigued and interested in it, and we were able then to use I Want to Hold Your Hand, Here Comes the Sun, and all of his library. Mm-hmm. How did you do that, and how did that all work out?
I think that was one of the more difficult ones, because he had sort of a history of having had a problem with Hollywood, and he kind of put us in that category. And so at the very beginning, it was kind of rocky. After we did it, I did a couple cues and got him to him. He became much more positive about the whole thing. And, sometimes it's kind of scary, because you really want to honor that person's feeling. You know, you have to study their music and try to imagine what they would do. And, you know, for me, I've always tried to become sort of a chameleon and try to think like that person. And just like, you know, if you like read Shakespeare, for example, you find yourself speaking differently because that language starts to permeate the way you think. And so I spent a lot of time listening to that particular artist, and hopefully that experience helps me to be more like that person. So that it's always kind of scary, because you don't want to really offend the person, but you want to surprise them with something that they would have thought of, but they didn't.
And he loved the work that you did. He was ill, and it was maybe three years before he passed away, but his wife and Bob Dylan's wife came and watched the movie all alone in an IMAX theater with me there. And after the film, she said, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, Paul will love this. George will love this. The whole band will love this. This song is so important to them. George's music is so important to the film. And it just was a magical moment for me and for I think, audience members. Everest did super, super well at the box office, and people love the story. We're trying to raise money for the radio station here. Please call in and pledge. We're at 715-5936. And I want to thank Jill Doran for sending in $100. Thank you. And let's move on to Here Comes the Sun. From our film Everest. And Steve, thanks so much for making the musical track of that film so brilliant. You know, it we started out bringing in these famous and talented artists when Sting told us that he wanted to be involved in our movie making. Our films up to that time, and this was right around 1993, our films had done really well, and the soundtracks were beautiful. His offer, though, to get involved was something that I think took everything up a notch, because we were able to use his beautiful, well-written songs that have such a deep sense of poetry in our films, and then utilize that connection that every audience member felt to those songs to enhance the visual imagery and the message that we are trying to get apart to the audience. So we used Sting's music, and he allowed us to use anything that he'd ever done, even the Police songs, in our film The Living Sea. Steve, what are your memories of that experience, and what was fun for you on that?
Well, I think what was really fun was to be able to get the original multi-tracks of a lot of the Police music and also Sting's music, and then just for me, on a personal level, to be able to listen to them because I was so familiar with the original mix that everybody has, and to be able to hear the takes that he sang that weren't the original takes and different bass takes. So I was able to kind of analyze it and get a little more insight into what happened behind the scenes. And there was even... on Don't Stand So Close to Me, it sounded like the Roadies had made up a whole new lyric and they were all singing it together. That was on one track. So there was a lot of crazy stuff like that going on. And so in a certain kind of way, you know, you're talking about how does it feel to have a bunch of people listen to your music? You don't really know because you're not there. You can imagine that. But this was kind of the other way around. I could actually hear what they had done that hardly anyone else had the privilege to listen to. So that for me, that was a real high point.
Yeah, kind of detective work.
Yeah, the detective and just like, you know, like being one of the guys in a way.
Yeah. You know, I remember you claiming that on one track there were 48 tracks and something like 20 lead guitar tracks. Trying to figure out which one was the one that they actually used in the hit was a big chore. And we really didn't have much guidance. Their manager, Miles Copeland, was helpful, and he had to approve everything, and then Sting had to approve everything, Sting was wonderful. He came to the premiere of the film and did a lot of good PR stuff for us. But it was really a great moment for us because we were experimenting utilizing one artist throughout the entire film. Mm-hmm. Previously, we'd kind of mixed and matched different artists and then your music to kind of hold everything together. In this case, Sting's music really kind of painted the tone of the entire film, this imaginative movie about the fragility of the ocean. Let's go into one of Sting's songs. We're trying to raise money right now for the radio station. It's a wonderful thing. They need money to keep the lights on. So call in your pledges, 715-5936.
Thank you. morning sun, tomorrow's rain, we wash the stains away. Something in our minds will always stay. Perhaps this final act was meant to clinch a lifetime's argument. But nothing comes from violence, and nothing ever could. For all I was born beneath an angry star. Lest we forget how fragile we are. From a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are.
That really takes me back. This is Greg McGillivray. This is the community takeover of our radio station. We're revolutionaries. Here we are. Please pledge to the radio station. Call in to 715-5936. And we've got Steve Wood, who worked on the score of The Living Sea, wrote beautiful music, and utilized the artistry of Sting with many of his wonderful hits, including Fragile. And we were just talking about that song on the break. The way that song worked with the film took you to another place. It was just so magical. And the connection between music and beautiful imagery of the ocean, trying to convey the idea that wherever we live on the planet Earth, we are all islanders. The ocean surrounds us. The ocean is our lifeblood, and it is so critical to us. The ocean is not in good shape right now. In fact, Barbara, my wife, and I have started a conservation group called One World, One Ocean, and we're trying to, through communications and media and IMAX films, get people around the world more concerned, as concerned as we are. Steve, what you recall about working on that film with these beautiful pieces of music like Fragile?
Well, I've always loved Sting, and I've particularly loved that song in that era. And again, it was just like such an honor for me to be able to have these, all the pieces that went into making that music, and then being able to reassemble them to fit the picture, and then add musicians depending on the locale. You know, we had a lot of Caribbean music and different kind of instruments to bring into those pieces that everybody's already familiar with, and trying to find the instruments and the musicians that could slip right into those songs and still make it feel like it's true to the original composition. it was really a great experience for me. So that was, like you say, that was the first one we ever did. So that really set a kind of a tone for a future way of working for me.
It was a great method of kind of connecting the audience to through the emotions that they already felt for the music.
And that's a big deal. You know, it's like getting people to like music. It's very rare to get somebody to like something on a first listen. And so if you're writing an original score, you know, you kind of have to win people over in a certain kind of way. It's like meeting a new person. You learn to like them with time. And music is a similar kind of deal. The more you hear it, the more you can tend to like it.
Yeah.
And so that's a very, very important thing. If you can hit somebody with a piece of music that already has a lot of emotion tied up with their history and their memory, it's really powerful.
You know, we've had a couple more callers to pledge. I want to thank Mark Ostrich and also Barbara Holly. Keep those calls coming in. It's 715-5936. This is KX 93.5. And you know, I think the fun thing about making movies is, and we try to put out a film every year, and so Steve and I are working all the time, and right now we have a particular lot of pressure because we're finishing this film called National Parks Adventure. Next year, National Parks celebrate 100 years since their inception, and it's going to be a big celebration. So our company is doing one big IMAX 3D movie, which will come out in February, and then we're also doing 8 television shows, half-hour TV shows with the Travel Channel, which will also come out in February. But it'll be a big year for the national parks, and Steve is working on the music right now, and I'm working on finishing up all the voices. I've got all the actors, the characters in the film out here right now doing all the voiceover work, and I'm going to be working with Robert Redford on Monday up in Salt Lake City to record the narration. But, you know, what we try to do with each one of our films is give the audience a taste of what it is to be in the place that these movies are set. Back several years ago, we did a film where we sponsored an expedition all the way down the Nile River. First time ever, starting at the source of the Blue Nile and then traversing through the upper rapids in Ethiopia, all the way across the Sudan, and then across Egypt, all the way to the Mediterranean. 4-month journey that two guys did in one big raft. And Steve was tasked with coming up with the music. How did you do that? The music is so beautiful, and we have a piece coming up, but what was your attack on that?
Well, that one, that was actually kind of, it's interesting now. I basically get on the internet and I look around for the music of the locale of the place if I don't go there personally. But in those days, this was a bit of, it's like, I don't remember when this was, 10 years ago or a little longer, the Nile piece?
Yeah, it probably less than 10, maybe 8. Yeah.
Well, I think actually...
we do so many films.
I know, it's a big mishmash. But I believe that on this one...
huh? So 10 years, yeah.
10 years. So I think at this one, I got a hold of the consulate of Sudan and asked there about musicians that I might find in the local area that was reflected their music. And fortunately... they hooked me up with some singers and players that had their unique instruments and their singing. And I mean, this is a fodder for an entire show of all these different musicians from around the world I've worked with and how I've hooked up with them. And somehow it's always worked out. I've always found somebody. And you know, in a certain kind of way, we're so lucky because Western music is everywhere in the world. And so I can communicate with people because they understand my music. Yeah. And that helps me to understand their music.
That's a good point. Well, let's hear a bit. This is the Ethiopian Singers. You remember those guys? They're huge, tall, thin, beautiful African folks who just sang their hearts out.
I mean, they just had the groove.
Yeah. Well, let's hear this.
Bati ketemau كمی بلا و بکر یمی تار یلو
Okay, this is the community takeover of our radio station. This is Greg McGillivray, filmmaker here in town with Steve Wood, wonderful composer. This is KX93.5. Please call in and donate money. It's 715, the number, 715-5936. The next piece of music that I chose to play is something that's near and dear to my heart because there was one point in my life that my wife was in the hospital and she had Guillain-Barré, which is a very tricky nerve disorder. And I had to take care of the kids. And so the kids were, my daughter was at the time about 5 and my son was maybe 7 or 8. And so every morning I would wake the kids with 2 music cues. Sean had to get up earlier, so I'd put on Sting's Every Breath You Take. And then when Megan would have to get up to go to preschool, I'd put on this beautiful song by Tracy Chapman, and we would dance together.
Sorry, it's all that you can say. Years gone by and still words don't come easily. Like sorry forgive me. Thank you. at the right time. You'll be mine. You'll be mine. You'll be mine.
Well, this is the Laguna Beach Takeover. I'm Greg McGillivray, a filmmaker in town with Steve Wood, a composer. That was Tracy Chapman, and as I was saying, that was an important song to me because not only did my daughter and I dance to that when Barbara was in the hospital, but we danced to that when she got married. So that was fun. And actually, she had a birthday yesterday and celebrated at the Heidelberg Cafe with a beautiful breakfast, one of the sponsors here. And I want to go into another regional film that Steve and I worked on, and it was a film that started in a strange way. The state of Louisiana was very concerned about the bayou of Louisiana, the biggest bayou wetlands in the world. They were worrying, and every year that bayou gets washed away, cutting into itself almost a football field every month. And they wanted us to make a film that could then be shown in Washington, D.C. to all the congressmen and all the staffers so that Congress could pay attention to the Louisiana wetlands as well as they were paying attention to the Everglades, which is far smaller. So we started a movie about the hypothetical that a hurricane would hit that region and sweep into New Orleans. We started shooting the movie, finished shooting the movie, came back and started editing, and then all of a sudden in August, Hurricane Katrina was bearing down on New Orleans. We sent a crew there with a helicopter that we stole from a movie set in Miami. And on the side of the helicopter said, Miami-Dade Police. That actually helped us. We put our cameras in that helicopter and got beautiful shots of the devastation of New Orleans, boats up on freeways. It was an amazing tragedy and something that I'll never forget. And Steve Wood wrote a song that finishes the movie that we made. The movie's called Hurricane on the Bayou. And Steve, can you tell me what was it like to go down there after Katrina and try to make a score to celebrate life and try to get the feeling of that region?
Well, there's so much to talk about because that is such an amazing place. It's a second world country down there. It's the most unhomogenized, as far as American culture, place that I've been in America. It's its own country down there. And the music is so different and so it permeates everybody's consciousness. They have a jazz fest down there, and it's music that the entire town stops. They shut down, and you walk into a restaurant or whatever, and everybody's listening to the music from the stage like it's the Super Bowl. I mean, they really, really love music down there. And so to be able to go down there and see the devastation and walk in the mud and see refrigerators up in trees and cars on top of churches and steeples toppled onto it was the most post-apocalyptic setting I've ever seen in reality. And then to be able to just see how much music was still there and how many people were still super enthusiastic to be part of this project and to be able to work with all of them, and that includes Alan Toussaint, who is one of the really founding members of the more contemporary style of music down there, and he got involved with us. He's actually featured in the film, and I don't know, it's one of the best experiences for me musically
ever. It was fantastic.
Ever.
In fact, Barbara still considers this score her favorite, and so much of it is because you got yourself so immersed in that style, in that community, and got to know people and utilize their talents, kind of absorbed their talents with yours, and created beautiful music. the film came out and did really well. It got the best film of the award, of the year award, and it's still playing in New Orleans at the IMAX Theater downtown there. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to now have you set up this song.
Well, this is called "This Is My Home," and a lot of this really is based on the fact of how everything was devastated and how people had to make a choice about whether they were going to abandon the city or whether they weren't. And this is a little bit about how you really don't have a choice. If you love a place so much, you'll figure out a way to get back to it. And so this is the idea that the song ends with, you know, if I ever get to heaven, I'll probably shed a tear because I'll realize it can't be any better than what I have right here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I have climbed the mountain. I have crossed the sea, searching for a far-off place where I was meant to be. Hear the distant thunder calling out to me, like a rainbow's promise it just wouldn't wait for me. While I chased horizons, I misplaced my heart. Sails up, waiting for the wind to start.
The community takeover of our radio station, KX93.5. And thank you all for calling in. Colin Henderson, Billy Freed, Harvey Treibwasser, Greg Godden. Going through these. Paul Freeman. And, of course, Mary Allen Rowan. Thank you all very much for calling in and pledging. Do it more. This station needs money. It's a nonprofit institution. Call 715-5936. And Steve, thanks for being here. That was a gorgeous song. I love that song. It's one of my favorites, all the work that you've ever done. And I think we want to go out saying thank you all for listening. And let's go out on Kenny Loggins, a song I've loved forever, What a Fool Believes. He wrote this with Michael McDonald, and the Doobie Brothers did another version of it. Here we go.
She came from somewhere back in the snow.
Let's do this one together.